Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Jeremy White and Joe DiBiase. Did you know that Jeremy and Joe is both a radio show and a podcast? You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods, and whenever it works for you.
11 a.m. on a Thursday. Hour number two rolls along here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer along the ride with you here. And now, joining us on the Wester Hotline, Sal Capaccio, as the Bills will get ready for practice at 11:30. Sal, much better morning than yesterday, I must tell you. Much better morning.
Yeah, for sure. That was pretty exciting, intense. Baseball, playoff baseball is great.
I know. I was asking Derek right at the top of the show, like, how bad does a football game have to get you to go to another sporting event? And I was so glad he's like, not much. Because Look, football is my first love. I do want to watch Rams and 49ers. But with how injured the 49ers are and how good the playoff baseball has been, I'm like,
I'll just tell you, I don't.
8 o'clock, I'm going to Red Sox-Yankees.
I have zero interest in watching football tonight.
You don't want to watch Mac Jones?
If there's a different game, I mean, if it's a game and, you know, you wanted to see and how it impacts the Bills, it might be a little different for a lot of people if you love baseball and dialed into this game. The other thing about it is, though, so I don't know if you guys know, but the game is at 8 tonight. If the Reds had won last night, this game would be at 6 again tonight.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they would have kept all the times the same. Like, now everyone's kind of gotten moved back. There's no 1 o'clock game. I do prefer that. The first day, I love the 1 o'clock starts. Now I'm like, I kind of want there to be a little bit more special feeling, wait a little bit into the afternoon.
Right.
But it's been so good. And, Sal, the stat you had yesterday, it's going to be put to the test today.
Yeah, for sure. So, yeah, I mean, because all three games, I mean, three of the four series went to three games. If all four series had gone to three games, we'd be having the same schedule, 1, 3, 6, and 9. But every time they eliminated a game, they kind of pushed one out the afternoon block and pushed it back. So, I mean, I love the 6 o'clock start because, I mean, 9 o'clock game's ending. Like, all right, it's only 9 o'clock. That's great. 8 o'clock start is... Yeah, you know what? I mean, it's kind of normal, I guess, maybe a little bit later, and then it's just a late night, you know what I mean? But I agree. I'll check in on the football game, and I'll be super dialed into that.
Sal, last thing on this, too, for me. How do you feel about the very late night playoff baseball games? Like, I am somebody that loves the mystique, the aura, the romanticism of it's 2 o'clock in the morning, it's Yankees Red Sox, and we're in like the 12th inning. Like, a part of me does love that, but it leads into a long night and early morning.
I don't love that at all. Listen, I mean, when I was a kid, if I remember right, I could be a little wrong on this. Like, games started at kind of a reasonable hour for us to kind of watch them. I remember, you know, Mets, Red Sox in 86, you know, Cardinals and Twins in 87. I can go through the timeline of the teams and the games and these great series. But then as I got older and TV kind of became the bigger deal and put these games in the primetime windows, it just became – I just don't like the fact that Major League Baseball, NFL, NHL, everybody, they start these games – at 7:30, 8 o'clock, heck, I mean, national championship game in basketball, right? It's late.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And it's all because of TV. And I just think it sucks that younger people, it's tough for them to watch. I get it, why they do it, because West Coast, they're 3 hours behind. You try to fit it in for everybody where you have to meet earlier for them, later for you, all those kinds of things. But, yeah, I do not like those late games. I'll, at some point, depending on what game it is, generally, I mean, heck, a couple of Monday Night Football games this year. I went to bed and said, I will just find out who won when I get up in the morning.
Well, I mean, that's the bonus with the Bills Monday Night game against Atlanta. It's part of that doubleheader.
It's
7:15, baby. 7:15.
I love that. That's great. I love that. You know, especially for us, you know, we're on the team charter. And, you know, so the way it works is kind of right after the game, you do locker room interviews, and you get, you know, on the bus and to the plane. And Atlanta's going to be, what, a 2.5-hour flight or so, maybe, I guess, something like that. so the game starts at 7:15, done by 10:15, still going to get back at like 3 in the morning, but as opposed to maybe 4:30.
Oof. And that's still tough.
And that's the thing, it's but that little bit difference, it makes the world a little bit. All right, let's get to the Bills and the Barnes from Injured Report, which is brought to you by the Barnes from Injured for help. Call 1-800-8-MILLION. Sal, I think for the most part, good news. Spencer Brown, Matt Milano, Ed Oliver all make their returns to practice, albeit in a limited fashion. I did see this from Matt Perino, friend of the show, friend of the station. This was Oliver's first practice since September 10th. And then there were others, some notable ones. Dory Williams did not practice with a knee. And then a bit of a late addition, this was not said when McDermott met with all of you guys, Jackson Hawes, an ankle, was also limited.
Yeah, and I think, you know, from people can see, I have video posted at Sal Sports. You can watch, you know, Matt Milano is attacking a bag and tackling it to the ground. And that's great news for a guy who has a pec injury, right, coming back. So I think he's trending really well. We'll see how it goes for the rest of the week. And if you're going to be without Dorian Williams, it'd be great to get Matt Milano back, obviously. You know, Dorian has done a nice job, but, you know, the Bills are a different defense with Matt Milano on the field, and be great to get him back. Spencer Brown, same thing. He was kind of doing everything. From when I was watching him, I saw that it looked like he was doing pretty well. And, I mean, just indicating from last week that he thought he might be able to go, I think that's looking pretty good. I think Ed's a little different. I think there's a chance he could play, but even the way he sounded after practice seemed like, you know, they're going to try and see what happens this week, how it goes for the next few days. It has been a while. He was limping pretty good on Sunday when he came out, you know, to walk on the sidelines. So we'll see how it goes. He still have a few days here, but limited yesterday and practicing is good, obviously. We'll see. I don't think there's anything necessarily right now to worry about with Jackson Hawes. He was in the locker room yesterday afterwards. You spoke to him briefly. It wasn't about the injury or anything, because we didn't know at the time he was even limited. But he was in there and seemed like nothing was going on. So I think that might just be something where maybe he's got a little something they're dealing with right now.
And speaking on Hawes, Sal, continuing on with him, the snap count from Sunday, he outsnaps both Kincaid and Knox. It does look like the role continues to expand for a player that has become a bit of a favorite, almost a cult following, so to say, for the rookie tight end.
Yeah, I agree. I think people just love his demeanor. They love what he brings to the table as far as toughness and the ability to block, and we've seen that. And then all of a sudden he throws in a game, it seems like it's a pretty big catch. Even last game, he only caught one ball, but it was, you know, I don't know, 20-something yards downfield. He's on the sidelines, making a nice play there. You know, he's a good athlete. And I think, too, learning his personality. If you guys have heard him talk, you've heard him with, you know, other, mm-hmm. you know, being at who's on One Bills Live and different places like that. He's got this really great personality, and I think he kind of draws people to him. So, yeah, I think all of that is baked into that. And I was listening a few weeks ago to your show here, and somebody called up, and they're like, oh, well, he should take over Dalton Kincaid. When's that going to happen? And you guys, I think, rightfully said, well, I think more that it would be maybe Dawson Knox more than Dalton Kincaid. But, look, I'm here to tell you, why do you have to even do that? Like, the Bills have what they want right now. They have three tight ends who have these different roles, who have different skill sets. It's exactly what they want. Just because Jackson Hawes is doing a good job doesn't mean he has to take over the job of somebody you have to get rid of. They have a good situation. Now, that being said, of course, you look at Dawson Knox's contract for next year, and those are things you visit down the road. It doesn't have to be right now, and it doesn't have to be at the end of the year where you have to make that decision. You could do other things. I think the Bills would love to have this going forward, love to have these three tight ends. You don't have to have someone just completely replace someone else because he's doing a good job. Maybe part of the reason he's doing a good job is he's in a perfect role because of the room he's in.
Right, and all of a sudden, you know, it's a good problem to have. And to be fair, Sal, I mean, they're cooking with gas with this three tight end system that they're using. I mean, James Cook is top five in rushing. He's second only to Jonathan Taylor. Right, there's no real reason to change it, and especially you don't want to throw Hawes into a situation he's maybe not ready for. The catch week one is great, but he does almost drop it. I mean, they are still bringing him along in the role that they have with him. Sal, though, speaking of decisions to be made, I don't want to forget about this. In terms of the guys on IR that were eligible to come back, the team has not made any decisions on those players, and that, of course, does include Max Harrison, Tyler Bass, and Tylan Grable.
Yes. I mean, I guess we could say they have made a decision. They're not coming back this
week, right?
I mean, that's the decision. So, yeah, I mean, they know. They have a plan for these guys, and they'll see where it goes. But none of them had their practice windows open yesterday, so in case people are unaware how it works, because these players were placed on injured reserve, have served their four games on injured reserve, that's the minimum amount, now they are eligible to start practicing again and even playing in games. So the Bills could put them on the practice field at any point. But once they practice, the clock starts ticking, and the Bills would have 21 days to put them on the active roster, that person, and make a corresponding roster move. So if you don't put them on the practice field, you don't have to do that. And right now, it's just keep doing what you're doing, rehabbing. And there's a couple different things at play here, right, which is the health of the player, obviously, first and foremost, but also the roster decisions that are looming. And, you know, once you decide to put them on the practice field, roster decisions are going to come a lot quicker for the Bills. And you never hope that injuries are a factor in making those roster decisions with other people. They could. But right now, I think, you know, the Bills can keep these guys doing what they're doing, rehabbing the way they are, and then we'll see where it goes.
Sal Capaccio joining us here on the Westher Hotline. Bills Patriots for Sunday Night Football. Sal, one of the big concerns, not concerns or big concerns, one of the things that you start hearing about early on in the season with James Cook being second in the league in rushing and really becoming a dominant force here, there has not been a lot of usage for Ty Johnson or, in particular, Ray Davis so far. And I do remember I did see Joe Brady speak a little bit on that matter. Do they want to try to implicate a little bit more balance into their backfield to give Cook a little bit of rest every now and then?
Your guess is as good as mine, Derek. It's a great question because we're all kind of wondering and watching this play out. But at the same time, I don't think there's any rush to take James Cook off the field. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because he's playing so well. And I think that's part of it, which is James is just so dynamic and so good right now that the Bills love having him on the field. I think, you know, in a full picture type of deal here, you're thinking about it, which is, man, how much do you really want to put on him? You know, you don't want to keep the wear and tear. You want to keep the wear and tear off. But he has this running style where he doesn't usually, knock on wood, take these big shots. He takes care of his body. And so far, so good. And I think there is a role for Ray Davis and especially Ty Johnson and on third down that we are going to see. To me, it feels like it's almost like game planning, where maybe there's a game where it's like, okay, this is going to be the game where we're using Ty Johnson out of the backfield. That was Detroit last year. Remember that game, guys?
Mm-hmm.
Detroit last year. I remember going into that game, and I said, well, I'm probably on the air with you guys, hey, the linebackers for the Lions aren't great at covering. This could be a game where tight ends or running backs could factor. Well, sure enough, when the Bills just attacked them with Ty Johnson out of the backfield, you might get a game like that. And then you start to say, okay, there it is. In the meantime, it's a good question. I don't think it's anything Ty Johnson or Ray Davis are doing wrong. I just think the Bills right now are riding James Cook.
And, you know, Sal, it's really fun to kind of look at this, again, just through the first month. So it's not indicative of what the season will be. But the big player that many Bills fans and us included were looking to for James Cook's contract was Kyren Williams. And the big discrepancy between those two is that Williams kind of never left the field for the Rams. Fast forward to the start of this year, and I know Joe brought this up this morning, that actually hasn't been true. They're having full drives where Blake Corum is the main running back, Kyren Williams on the bench, and then you go to the Bills, who it seemed to be their whole thing was they got all their running backs involved through the first month. Sure, they're still involved, but James Cook is getting the bell cow kind of carries at running back, and it's led to, you know, the top rushing offense in the league through week one, or through the first month, excuse me, and then he's second in the league in rushing, like I mentioned, only behind Jonathan Taylor, who's, you know, well-established as one of the best backs in football.
Yeah, I mean, that's interesting. I didn't know the stats on Kyren Williams. You bring up a good point. Like, that's interesting to note, right? Which is, they get paid, I mean, I guess right around the same amount of money total, right? And same contract, don't have it in front of me. And, yeah, a lot of conversation of Kyren Williams and all the things he did. And, well, James Cook, he doesn't play third downs. Well, he's playing more in third down. He's playing more percentage. It is funny how both teams have kind of morphed. But, again, as the season goes on, I'm sure they'll be different for the Rams too, right? I mean, it might be different for the Bills, might be different for the Rams. It's a game-to-game situation. We'll see what the Kyren Williams is tonight. And, yeah, give Blake Corum a lot of credit. I'm sure that's part of that is Blake Corum is playing well when he's on the field. So, you know, I mean, a team's job is to do what's best for the team to win. That's the team's job. Doesn't matter how much guys are getting paid. Yeah, you want your superstars, your best players, high-paid players to, you know, be your best players, I think, in a perfect world. But the team's job is to play who's playing, and it's just the same conversation with Josh Allen. To do what's best for the team to win. It's the same conversation with Josh Allen. Oh, my God, he's not throwing for 300 yards. They're not pushing the ball downfield. And his answer is, we're scoring 31 points a game and winning. Like, isn't that the goal, right? That's the job.
Right, absolutely. Sal, just a few more minutes here, and with practice starting in just a little over 10 minutes, what's the schedule for today and then the rest of the week with Sunday Night Football?
Yeah, 11:30 shortly from now. The Bills will be on the practice field. We'll get another look. We'll see today. We don't hear from Sean McDermott pre-practice on Thursday, so it's just going to be an observance of who's going to be practicing today. Ed Oliver, Matt Milano, Jackson Hawes now, obviously, Dorian Williams, Spencer Brown. So we'll take a look at that. People can follow me on social at Sal Sports on X, and we'll have an update on that. And then tomorrow will be the wrap-up to the week, as they normally do. We will have Sean McDermott on the air tomorrow, probably, just for everybody kind of wondering right now, about a little after 11 o'clock again tomorrow, I'm guessing, Sean McDermott. That's not in stone, so it could be earlier. We'll get an injury update and game designations. And then, yeah, Sunday Night Football, Patriots in town. And it's the Sunday night. It's the rivalry series game with
Whiteout
the jerseys.
Game, yeah.
You guys saw the pictures and video with the helmets on yesterday, right? They were wearing at practice, right? They're wearing them now to get used to them. And it's the last time the Patriots will ever visit the stadium, of course, unless they play in the playoffs, which they did a few years ago in the perfect game. And this is the team I saw first ever here. My first game ever inside this stadium was 1987, Patriots at Bills, a strike-shortened season. It was late November. Bills had to win the last two games. They shaved off a game of the year because of the strike, so there were only 15 games. Bills had to win the last two games to make the playoffs, and they lost that game 13-7 to the New England Patriots. But that is the first game I ever went to, was Patriots-Bills.
There you go. All right, Sal, we'll let you get ready for practice, and we'll talk again soon, man. Thank you.
You got it, guys.
That was Sal Camacho there on the Western Hotline. And as you heard, you can follow along with everything from practice, Sal's socials at Sal Sports. Do want to mention this because I did bring up a Blake Corum and Kyren Williams. It's not as aggressive as maybe you'd think, where all of a sudden it's a 50-50 split. But looking back at last year, Kyren Williams' snap count was at 87% in 2024. Through four games, it's at 74%. Still a good chunk, but for Corum, he's now going up, again, just through the first four games, from 11% in 24 to 25% in 25. Still, though, hasn't technically started any of the games, which is unsurprising. For the Bills, though, I'm with Sal. Like, I've been very – I'm okay with it. I'm cool with leaning on your best players. I think that's somewhat of a ridiculous statement, to not lean on your best guys. Like, the quarterback is the biggest difference.
Right.
Do I want him throwing the ball 40 times a game? No. But in the fourth quarter, if we need to make a play, yeah, I'm cool going to him.
And the Bills have shown that. They absolutely are getting to. Now, we'll get to him if we need him. And then a couple times over the last couple weeks, they've needed him. And he's made plays and helped put things away.
But for the Bills' running game, I'm almost less excited. I hate saying this because I like Ray Davis, the guy. I even like the player. But Sal brings up Detroit. And Ty Johnson last year had a number of games where you're like, okay, he's awesome. You can't let him go. He's their third down back. He's the best, quote unquote, third down back in the league, if you ask Josh Allen. I'm almost more excited to see him get going, because you even look in the preseason, Derek. I mean, it's the preseason, so it doesn't mean a ton. Ty Johnson was more impressive than Ray Davis.
He looked fresh.
He looked fresh. He looked good. He looked like the guy that, yeah, he's the backup, and that maybe wasn't even necessarily true. But I am curious to see how the Bills get that going. If they really do want to balance the scales a little bit with the run game, or if they're like, hey, it's working. And as Sal pointed out, you know, James Cook is very, very good, and he's very shifty. He doesn't take these monster hits where you're just sitting there going, all right, take him out for a minute here.
Shelton Bulldog did a really good segment about this on Monday of like how Ray Davis last year would be in games consistently, and it's not about like, oh, it's blowouts, hand it to the rookie running back. It was, there'd be drives where they had Ray Davis in the game. And that is clearly not happening so far. His numbers are definitely, I think, part of that equation. I do think that his struggles are leading a little bit to he's getting a little bit less attention and a little less carries. I do want to not necessarily dispute Sal on that, but I do look at it and go, could that also be why? And it has to also do with the dominance of James Cook. It probably is a two-factor thing. So, obviously, Ray Davis would probably say the same thing. Like, I'm frustrated because I'm not doing well or something like that, if he's asked that sort of question. Mm-hmm. I am curious to see if they're able to get things going again, and if so, when. But right now, it's James Cook's backfield, and
it would feel kind of ridiculous to change it up.
And both Ty Johnson and Ray Davis have to deal with that at the unfortunate level right now.
Yeah, Cook's playing at a level where I think right now, in terms of odds, Cook is top five in offensive player of the year odds. And that would make sense. It's not a quarterback award. Typically, it goes to the receivers, running backs, or what have you. He's been great.
And
he's
ready?
Scoring in every game.
Ready?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's Jeremy White and Joe DiBiase, and we host Jeremy and Joe, your daily destination for Buffalo sports talk. All Bills, all Sabres, all the time. Did you know that Jeremy and Joe is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for Jeremy and Joe, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
I've got bad news for anyone that wants a second MVP for Josh Allen.
It would be if James Cook is all of a sudden offensive player of the year or all-pro running back.
If James Cook finishes top three in rushing, you're probably not getting Josh Allen another MVP.
I'm
because
more
it's
than
the
okay
same
with that.
Argument as last year with Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry.
Right, and I am more than okay with that. He got his one. He got his. Now it's time for the team
I'm
awards.
Just saying, don't get short-term memory.
Right.
Or convenient short-term memory loss willingly. About this, do not become Ravens fans and forget about the arguments of last year.
803-0550, the number to call. We were talking nerve levels for the Patriots this weekend. We'll get some of your tweets and your calls after a quick timeout. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here in the Northtown Automotive X Point Show. This is WGR.
You know, known through the same agency, got to know him, and you know, we share a lot of the same things. We like playing golf, and you know, just. Hopefully, he's very down to earth. I like to say I'm down to earth, but he's a great player. Golly, it's fun watching him. He makes some plays, every week that you're like, man, that's pretty cool. So he's the MVP of the league, and sadly to say, it's fun to watch him. But we got to play him on Sunday, so a little different mindset.
Patriots quarterback Drake May into his sophomore season. It's off to a very good start. What has he got? 7 touchdowns to 2 picks. High completion percentage. He's right around there, I think, with Allen in terms of passer rating, but. A little bit of an overrated stat.
And yardage.
I hate that Drake May's on the Patriots. I was such a big fan of his sophomore year, I want to say, because the red shirts get a little weird. But I think it was a sophomore year at North Carolina. Not a great team. And yet he threw for over 4,000 yards, 37 touchdowns, and like 5 picks. He was electrifying at North Carolina. Less so of his last year there, but his first year really getting like the full go. He was awesome, and he's continuing that into the NFL. Should be a fun matchup on Sunday Night Football. Also do want to mention that, and I believe this is correct. I looked it up real quick. Sunday Night Football, Josh Allen's record, 8-0. It's not surprising.
It's like the Bills are a good football team plays brightest when the lights are bright.
And so on that, going back to your tweets, 803-0550, if you want to join in on the conversation, your nerve levels for the Patriots this week. Michael tweets in, Josh playing at home in prime time after hearing about the Patriots threatening for the division and how Drake May be better than Josh Allen soon. Patriots are going to get smoked.
That's what I'm here for.
And there is that thing of pro athletes, so if they just need the little bit, they'll make things up in their head. But they need that little bit and they'll just go. I think that's where I can't get behind any of the trap game talk for this game at all. At all. This is a Patriots team that all offseason the Bills would have heard is coming. They're going to at least finish second in the division, but they'll be right there with the – and I said it for the Patriots on their side of things. This will be a game where they could cement themselves as we're coming. We may not win the division this year, but we're going to be a playoff team this year.
We'll Drake be a thorn in your side.
Yeah, Drake May can start to solidify himself as, cool. Jaden Daniels went to the NFC Championship last year in his rookie year. Congratulations to him, but I'm with him. I took out the MVP in the league. You heard it in the clip there. He's given a lot of credit to Allen. This would be a game for the Bills to put their foot down. I mean, I think we've all seen the clip the last few days, but what was it, NBC in Boston?
Yeah.
Years ago during the win game, when they're like, oh, the 11th month reign of the Bills is over.
Yeah, that was still one of the worst things I'd ever heard in my life.
But this could be the Bills' moment to kind of do the same thing of like, oh, you won the offseason, good job.
Your two-month ballyhoo to start training camp and the regular season, which I don't know if I want to ever get to like stooping to that low. Mm-hmm. But I do think, similarly to Steve, who tweeted in saying, mm-hmm. very low level of worry. The Pats' pass defense is not very good at all. Geno Smith and Tua both had 300-yard games against this defense, and we have the best quarterback in the NFL. The only team beating the Bills on Sunday is the Bills themselves with self-inflicted errors. And the beauty of it is the Bills don't make back-breaking errors.
They don't
right
turn
now.
The ball over very much.
They barely take negative plays.
It was a bit of an anomaly. They had a lot of penalties on Sunday against New Orleans. That was a bit of an anomaly. So even then, it's hard to point to that and go, well, see, it's really not the case. Because New Orleans, going into that game, took a lot of penalties and didn't.
I'm looking at that game, though, with vested interest in the right tackle. If Spencer Brown is healthy, I feel a lot better about the Bills offensively. Ryan Vanmark had a tough day,
at least
sledding
against
the New Orleans Saints, and I would imagine much of the same for a Patriots defense that has some good pass rushers themselves at this point.
Do you want to mention on that, their leading sack getter, Clavon Chaisson, did miss practice yesterday with a knee injury, so that's going to be something to keep an eye on. He's got 2.5 so far through 4 weeks. You're
the
right,
injury's also good, though.
Yeah, but one
they
of the best guys might be down, but they do have some guys, absolutely.
They have some guys, so I would be like, it's not a level of concern, but it would be that's something to watch for.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking at the status of Spencer Brown
mm-hmm.
when inactives come out on Sunday night, because I know he's probably going to get a questionable tag because he's starting off limited already, unless he goes full practice for the next 2 days.
Which, he could. Oliver's the one for me that I'm kind of with Sal on it. And to be perfectly honest, I'm okay again if he misses. I've said it since the start of the season. I care more about what this team looks like in January than I do what they look like in September or the first weekend in October. It's why I'm okay that they maybe aren't as, quote-unquote, flashy on offense. Still productive, but the style points really aren't there a ton.
Style
right?
points aren't there, but they've scored 30 in every game.
They keep scoring, but I'm okay with it because, yeah, I don't really want them to show all of their best stuff in September. Now, ultimately, it's an entertainment business, right? We want to be entertained. I understand that. I get it. But they're at a point now in their run here. Like I said with the Allen MVP thing, cool. I don't care if he doesn't get another MVP in his career.
Right.
Would suck for him. He probably deserves at least two or three, right? The way he's been playing, deserves to be probably with Lamar on that and Mahomes. But the team needs a Super Bowl, or else this era gets really weird to talk about and uncomfortable. And I don't want this to become a thing in Buffalo where, yeah, you're right, a passage is you get to have this unbelievably fun, like, 10-year period, and you win nothing from it except, like, division titles and a few playoff games. But you win nothing of consequence. I don't want that to be a rite of passage for young Bills fans. I don't want, Sal's son Max to – he's talking about Josh Allen. Doesn't get any championships from it, though, and it just becomes the 90s for his dad. I don't want that for people. You want to have something to hold on to with this era. And so far to start this year, at least in the AFC, we can talk about the league as a whole – down the line and how did Philly and Detroit and the Rams look, in November. But so far through September, the AFC, it looks weaker than in years past. Burrow probably is going to be out for the year. If not, he's going to come back for like the last three games, and what will that mean?
And everything's on fire based on how Jake Browning's playing.
Lamar, we'll see if he plays this week, but it's a hamstring injury that is projected to maybe cost him 2 to 3 games, and they're already 1-3.
And you're already seeing that, like, even if he plays – he doesn't look fresh. He looks like there might be actually something wrong, and the hamstring makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't look like he's got the same pop right now, and it's probably best for him to sit a game or two. But the Ravens are also at 1-3. You can't afford this.
No.
And this is why the Bills just win the games. Win the games that you have up here against a soft underbelly to start the year. Why? Because Baltimore's got to deal with this shredder of a schedule to start the year, their year. Apologize for none of it. Kansas City didn't apologize last year. Neither should you this year. Keep going.
Well, and also, it's going to be a thing, too. In 10 years, no one's going to care who you played. to get to a Super Bowl. No one's going to care.
No one's going
to
care.
No one's going to care also in the playoffs if you got through Daniel Jones and Aaron Rodgers to get there. No one will care.
No one's going to – well, some little gotcha artists will for, like, probably Dolphins fans. But
for what, 2-3 years? And then they go away and it's just, yeah, the Bills won in 25.
Yeah.
And you move on.
So the big deal here is, though, you keep winning. Like, hell, until the Super Bowl – nobody cared how the Chiefs were playing because they just kept winning.
Yeah, it was just the assumption of, yeah, they're playing like garbage, but they win.
I called it Chiefs devil magic.
Mm-hmm.
And then they used red coloring for their water fountains for the AFC championship
game. But you know what, though? It's good to bring that up, though, because Philadelphia built up a ton of PR for their defense off the Super Bowl performance. But most of their statistics last year, team-wise, on defense, weren't that awesome.
They were okay.
It wasn't a group that you thought, oh, they're going to humble the Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what it looked like at all. Jalen Carter was a freak of nature. He was good.
Matter of fact.
But their secondary had to go through some changes as well. They had to move Cooper DeJean around. It did not look as pretty. And even in the playoffs, if it's a little bit better weather against the Rams, they might beat them.
No,
and they couldn't stop Saquon Barkley for two games that year.
One play on fourth down, they still almost blew it.
Mm-hmm.
And until it actually happened in the Super Bowl, there were not great feelings about the Eagles in that game. It wasn't like it was overwhelming. It was people were just sick of seeing the Chiefs lift the trophy.
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
It was the two supervillains playing for the Super Bowl.
Exactly. But nobody thought Philadelphia was this unstoppable force at that point. Like, yeah, you beat down the Commanders, but it had more to say about the Commanders. The Chiefs had to have everything in their power to stop the Bills from stopping them. And it just, until it actually happened in the Super Bowl, what happened? People weren't watching because they thought that the Chiefs were just going to win it again. And the peak viewership came when Philadelphia has a pick six. Cooper DeJean returns that into the end zone, and people are now getting, hang on, they're doing what?
Yeah, the Chiefs are actually getting blown out.
I'm here for this. Give me my popcorn. That's where peak viewership shows up. Everybody's flocking to the TV because it's actually happening. The thing that I was afraid of, it's the opposite. So, like you said, the PR thing comes from one game. And until that game happened, everyone was just afraid. Like, oh, Chiefs voodoo is going to show up here again in the Super Bowl, and life sucks, then you die.
Yeah.
Like, that's pretty much everyone's mentality heading into the Super Bowl. And, again, it only until it actually happens is everyone fearful of that. People would complain about it, but had the Chiefs won, it would have turned into the ultimate story of,
listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, it's Jeremy White and Joe DiBiase, and we host Jeremy and Joe, your daily destination for Buffalo sports talk. All Bills, all Sabres, all the time. Did you know that Jeremy and Joe is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for Jeremy and Joe, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Perseverance. In a game-by-game basis.
It would have been, they're actually not very good, yet they still got it done.
I would have thrown up, but that's the narrative that shows up.
It. Yeah, nope, I respected it.
I don't care about respect. My tummy is sick.
Just, I'm ill watching this.
I'm ill even thinking about it. And the comparables that Buffalo is starting the season with in that regard is enough to make me a little queasy here. Quick, get me the Pepto. So it just is one of these things where don't apologize for who you're playing. Don't apologize for how you've necessarily been playing. Just get the win no matter what. Green Bay against Cleveland or
Chargers and
Chargers and Giants. It just, Don't apologize. Finish the job. Take care of business in any way that you have to. Like the Pittsburgh Steelers this year.
No. I'm not giving them credit.
I rolled so hard when I said this.
I'm not giving them credit. That game in Dublin, Ireland was offensive. Perfectly. It was offensive. Fourth and one. Go for it. End the game. Nope, we're going to punt it. Of course you will, Tomlin. Why would you not? Anytime I try to defend him as a good coach,
he
does something like that. And I'm like, bring him to Buffalo in January so they can blow them out like they do every year in the playoffs.
Thank goodness that the Bills have Sean McDermott. Every time I watch Mike Tomlin, that is the sentence I say.
Well, and it's not necessarily like 100% credit to McDermott. McDermott has his own faults. But it is the old school coaching of just so fearful of everything.
Him and Harbaugh. It is exhausting.
John Harbaugh. The fear of your own shadow. It is exhausting. 803-0550, the number to call, talking about fears. Nerves for this Sunday. Where are you at? We've heard mainly from positive people, but Pat does tweet in. No confidence in our DC, Bobby Babich, having the team ready against a very savvy and experienced offensive coordinator. Yes, if you did not realize, Josh McDaniels, OC of the Patriots for the third time in his career. But 17 at home in prime time against a team that is a viable challenger. The offense will be ready to go. This game will be closer than it should be based on the rosters, so the nerves are on edge. I will say, though, Pat, the spread is 8.5.
It's two scores again.
It's two scores, but it's as close as two scores can get. And so, yeah, it probably will be close. Most NFL games are close going into the second half. If the blowouts happen or the stretch happens, it's a little surprising. Or it comes late like the Bills have, where games against Miami and the Saints were close. And then the fourth quarter happened. They win by 10 and 12, respectively. Am I going to take the Bills to cover? Probably not. I've gotten burned the last 2 weeks. I'm not doing it.
This would be the week to do it, though.
This would be the week to do it, but I'm also going off baseball rules the vibes playoffs, and I'm not striking out.
Vibes are not great on the terms of covering the spread. So, this will be the week to do it.
I'm not worried about their offensive coordinator. I'm worried about their offensive line coach. You know who that is? Doug Marrone.
Doug Marrone. We've got a few people making their returns to Buffalo. We've talked Diggs. We've got the Marrone shout out. Haven't even mentioned
Mr. Hollins.
Mac Hollins coming back to Buffalo as well.
Barefoot. Do we get to walk in barefoot?
Oh, 100%.
Even though he's on the Patriots.
We're going to get that video.
The Patriots don't even indulge in it.
Really?
Bask in it. Come on. It's like one of the most.
No,
like,
it makes sense. Like it makes sense. It makes sense. The Patriots are just this.
We did it because he did it.
That was a mistake.
Courageous.
That was a mistake.
Salt burns on the sole of my feet.
Never have done that. Courageous.
No, not that. It just started the apparently everyone on WGR seeing their feet. Apparently, Zach, you're next on the schedule.
I'm not giving away my feet picks for free. Get out of here with that. Get out of here with that.
Speaking of fears,
am I doing that for free.
Speaking of fears, when we come back from the break, the Buffalo Sabres played last night. How are you feeling heading into the season there? UPL plays one period, does not go back in due to a little bit of a lower body injury. Four of the six defenders are banged up, so plenty of fears to go through in the last segment here of the Extra Point Show. I'm Derek Kramer. That's Zach Jones. You're listening to WGR.
See, I was waiting for that. You gotta wait for that. You can't jump into the middle. You got to wait for that.
So, real quick, Steve tweets in, Bills fans, please have some class and do not boo Steph Diggs on Sunday, but it and boo the hell out of Doug Marrone all you want. I cannot say anything more than I could not agree more perfectly on a tweet in my entire life.
I haven't heard a better plan in a long time.
Exactly. Like this, 1,000% this. I'm here for booing the bologna sandwich man. And
so Mac Hollins is getting cheered though, because like he is left alone in like all of this. Like he's gonna get a pop, isn't he?
He's probably gonna get a pop.
He might. On the Sabres real quick, because we've been hinting at it.
I did hint at it.
I do want to mention that they did lose last night's preseason game. It is what it is. Derek, though, you mentioned going into the break, a lot of injuries, namely with Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen and a lot of the defensemen as well.
All the defensemen. It does seem
one
like
week from today, they play against the Rangers to get their regular season underway.
It does seem like the injuries are relatively minor on the back end. A lot of day-to-days, so to say. But not great to start your year. Kesselring left the game, did not return, for example, though. Mm-hmm. But the Sabres were also playing a majority AHL Scranton team.
Yeah.
And they lost.
I'm fine with it. It's a preseason game. It is what it is.
I know, but it's not encouraging to me is basically what I have to say.
And the, right. And you'd like, what do they play, 6 preseason games? You'd like them to be 6-0.
Not necessarily 6-0. The games were like Detroit, in Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
You're playing your AHL roster and you get smoked.
Yeah.
Like, that's fine. Perfectly understandable.
Is what it is.
Totally get it. However, the common denominator between that game and this one is Alex Georgiev had to be in net for a majority of it, and it didn't go great.
Nope.
Getting nervous with UPL. He did the Tyler Bass thing where he played some game action and immediately is back on the shelf.
We'll see about that.
Lindy Ruff did say it was precautionary, seemingly.
Which sounds a lot like the defensive injuries as well.
So maybe it is just a precaution thing. You kept him out of it, and maybe he plays again on Friday. But you know who's going to help tell us a little bit more of that story? Brian Duff and Marty Baron on Sabres Live, as that is going to be coming up next here on WGR. I'm Derek Kramer. That's Zach Jones. Have yourself a great week. We're out of here.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's Jeremy White and Joe DiBiase. Did you know that Jeremy and Joe is both a radio show and a podcast? You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods, and whenever it works for you.